Thank you all for, I suppose I should particularly thank Troy for inviting me, but thank you all for coming out to hear me. I really have two things to do. One is to tell you a little bit about Calvin Crest and kind of what's going on right now at Calvin Crest, and the other is to bring you the Word of God in a sermon. And I'll tell you a few Calvin Crest stories in that sermon too, but these are two kind of separate things. As I came into Escon, I realized I was I would be very much at home here because I passed by almond trees and I passed by all sorts of agriculture that was going on. I came into a community that is full of people. Obviously, is that the biggest industry? I mean, certainly agriculture related in Escon, I'm sure, and that's the kind of town I've lived in most of my life, from Jacksonville, Illinois, to Lemoore, California. Although Lemoore has this little Navy thing going on too, but a Navy base in the middle of the San Joaquin Valley. Well, okay. But so I do very much appreciate the kind of community you have here, and certainly the kind of church where you all come out on a mid-August Sunday morning to hear somebody not your pastor bringing a message. I bring you greetings from Calvin Crest staff, especially from Tony Biasel, our director. He is today at Three Rivers down in San Joaquin Presbytery. We're trying to reach out and say to supporting churches like Escon Press, thank you. Thank you so much for sending your children, for coming as adults to Calvin Crest, for supporting us in so many ways, and we truly do thank you for that. We would not exist but for you, the people of the church, and the service that we are able to give to you, and the service that then you are able to give back to us in wonderful ways. How many of you have actually been up to Calvin Crest? Boy, that is a bunch. That is a whole bunch of you. And may I say that probably the people ask me sometimes, well, what can we do for Calvin Crest? And the single most important thing you can do is to come up and see us. Even if you want to just come up for the day, if I'm there, I'll take you around. I'll show you all my favorite places. I'll let you climb the stump in Sherwood if you're still able to do things like that. There's all that great stuff that we can do at Calvin Crest. Calvin Crest has just come through our summer program, although there is one more summer program taking off today, and that's the one that Bill Dodge, I was pleased to meet Bill's brother here. Bill Dodge and some others are taking a group of adults on another section of the John Muir Trail. They've been doing this yearly, and by the end of four summers, they'll have the whole trail covered, and that's a great program that's going on right now. We have had in this past summer, I think, and understand, I was on summer staff five summers a very long time ago. And my own part of being a part of Calvin Crest began when I was 17, and I accepted Christ down by the Campfire Circle, which is no longer there. I think they took the rocks and built the barbecue down by the lake. But there was a Campfire Circle there, and that was where I gave my life to Christ. So you see, my commitment to Calvin Crest has been there for a very long time. And I found myself wondering as I was looking at the staff this summer, I don't remember us ever being quite this smart and this committed. We just had a fabulous group of summer staff there to go along with the permanent staff that's already there. There's a display over in the coffee hour area, and there are some brochures there. There is one about Calvin Crest that we handed out at the summer celebration, which was a great celebration. We were full. We had almost every seat at dinner taken. There was close to 300 people there. So take a brochure if you're interested. There's also a sign-up sheet if you'd like to receive news about Calvin Crest by email. And please be sure to put your email there if you want. Do any of you play golf? One, two, three, four. That's all we need is four. No. If you have eight, that's good too. But we also have a Sherwood Golf Classic, which is going to be October 30th. By the way, this is the third date for that that we've chosen. This one. Ooh. So I take it that Troy doesn't pound the pulpit much. No, he doesn't. Okay. How about down here? No. Oh, that one echoes too. The golf tournament, third date, but it is firm, October 30th at Sherwood Forest Golf Course near Sanger, California, along on Frankwood there. It's a great place. And then I also put out some brochures for Living Waters for the World. Living Waters for the World is one of our partners in ministry who comes and offers the course Clean Water U, which is their training course for those who would like to learn about putting in a water project somewhere. I've been working on a water project in Guatemala. I'm currently working on a grant to take a group to Ecuador to put in a water project. This training allows you, so if your church is looking for a mission project that you think would be exciting and going personally doing something in another country, check out Living Waters for the World. Talk to me about it afterwards, because this, I mean, it's great work. There is no greater sort of infrastructure, physical need of people in the world than for clean water. And I mean, it's a huge need right now. You hear about it all the time. And this is a way to address that need. Calvin Crest is very much committed to utilizing the resources that we have at 5,000 feet to partner with churches to teach discipleship. We, of course, partner with school districts to teach natural science for our outdoor ed program, and with communities to bring people to health and wholeness. And we have many groups that come up, such as Dakota House from Fresno. We had Valley Teen Ranch up at Outpost for a week. Boys that, if they weren't at Valley Teen Ranch, they'd be at Juvenile Hall. And it was quite a challenge for everyone to get them up there and give them a great experience at Calvin Crest. We at Calvin Crest and we in the church, and you know, I served in the local church for 34 years. I always used to like to tell the people of the church that we were in the life business. In the life business. I was listening to some CDs as I was driving up, and one CD by an artist named Kate Campbell, who is profoundly Christian in the things that she sings about, but not always, not overtly so, not the kind of song you hear on K-Love. You know, it's a little different than that. But she was singing a song about a woman who threw a bunch of stuff in a paper bag and a Winn-Dixie bag, you know, this is the South, and threw a bunch of stuff in a bag and took off, and that she didn't even know what she was doing. All she was trying to do was to figure out how to live before she dies. I would be willing to bet that everyone at one time or another manages to get rid of the distractions of life and in the frustration of the moment, or maybe the glory of the moment, says to themselves, you know, I got to do something different. I really want to live, at least for a while, be alive before I die. The prophet Jeremiah wrote about life, and he wrote about it in such a wonderful way. He said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord," said Jeremiah, "when I will make a new covenant, new agreement with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with the forefathers when I took them out of the land, took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, in their minds. I will write it on their hearts, I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the greatest of them, from the least of them to the greatest. This is about life, about a life that is lived because the right way to live, the best way to live, is written on inside, internalized, given by God as part of a new covenant, a new way of living. The time is coming, said Jeremiah. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses, says that the time has come. I must confess that of all the passages in the New Testament, there is none that I've preached on more in my life as a pastor. This is, in fact, almost every year, at least once, I will pull this passage out because some new aspect of life hits me. Keep in mind that this was written by John the Apostle. Most scholars agree on that. It was written when he was very old, probably even maybe 90 years old or so, which was exceptional age for someone of that time. And listen to the excitement he has. And by the way, I'm reading from, I know this looks more like a cookbook than it does a Bible, but it's the J.B. Phillips version of this New Testament passage. And he says, we are writing to you about something which has always existed and yet which we ourselves actually saw and heard. Something which we had the opportunity to observe closely and even to hold in our hands. And yet, as we know now, was something of the very word of life himself. For it was life which appeared before us. We saw it. We are eyewitnesses to it. And we are now writing to you about it. It was the very life of all ages, the life that has always existed with the Father, which actually became visible in person to us mortals. We repeat, we really saw and heard what we're now writing to you about. We want you to be in this with us, in this fellowship with the Father, with Jesus Christ, his Son. And we must write and tell you about it, because the more that this fellowship extends, the greater the joy it brings to those of us who are already in it. Do you sense the excitement of this man? I do, and I try to read it with some sense of excitement. And one thing to keep in mind as we think about this passage is that the people who received this letter from John, the people in the churches, it was a general epistle. It went out to the churches in general. It wasn't written like many of Paul's letters to a specific church for specific problems, but a general epistle went out to many churches. But the people who received this letter and who were in the churches that John was writing to really had the same perspective on Jesus Christ that you and I do. Virtually none of them had actually seen Jesus walking the earth. Their faith came because someone told them about Jesus. Their faith came because somehow they had experienced life in Jesus. Their faith came because they were gathered together as a church, and in that church, they experienced Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ. They were just like us as regards that crucial, crucial factor. Why are we here? It's because we've experienced life in Christ. Somewhere, somehow, sometime, we have decided that it's important, that it's vital, that it's life that has appeared to us in the church at Calvin Crest. There, I told you I'd mention Calvin Crest in the sermon. At other places that the church that is part of that larger idea of church, maybe we even experience this life of God touching us driving down the road. It's amazing when you ask people this question, when you ask people the question, when did God become more than just a word to you? In other words, when did somehow you commit your life to God, to Jesus Christ? When did you find a time when it seemed to be more real? How many people, when I've asked that, and I've asked it for 34 years, you know, at one time or another in classes and things, about half of the people answer in some way connected with an accident, a life-threatening accident. Isn't that kind of wild? You know, sometimes when life is threatened, we seek more life. We say, oh, I can't let this go. I've got to have life. It's really quite amazing to me that we and those people in this share so much of the same life. You know, at Calvin Crest, we have always, and I go back to, you know, again, when I was 18 and serving on staff at Sherwood Forest and teaching a bunch of little kids, you know, about things. Go back to remembering times when we talked about life with these kids. You know, we talk about things like the golden rule. How do you want to be treated? That was a perfect children's sermon for this, because I remember one particular lesson that we had where we were talking about how you treat people who are different, and how how we accept them, and how we make this how we express our faith by treating people well. And so Kathy Black, Catho Glade in Sherwood Forest, those of you who are familiar with Sherwood names, Catho Glade was teaching this lesson, and she was saying, well, you know that person back home who's just not very maybe not attractive, or not, you know, not very smart, or something, you know, and all the girls, you know, we like to think our kids are all beautiful and perfect and popular and the best, but here in the middle of this group of kids, one little girl said, "Well, that's me." Huh? No, at home, that's me. I'm not popular. I'm not accepted. And thankfully, it took just a second or two for all the girls around her to pile on her and tell her how much she was loved by them. Now, when Kathy came back, of course, to the group of us and reported that she was just in tears and laughing and everything, all the time. And then the girl said, oh, and by the way, it's also my brother, and he was over in the other hut, so we were able to communicate with the brother too. And it's pretty simple, really, putting the lesson into action. It's not that difficult, and it brings life. It brings a window into life. I tell you, this summer, at the summer celebration, it truly, did any of you come up for that? Anybody come up for that? It was just such a wonderful time. The staff members each reflected to the worshipers sitting out in the pews something that had happened during their weeks of service that was significant. Significant in a way that someone's life was changed. Now, these reports from these staff members varied from, the girls really seemed to hate each other at the beginning of the week, and they were getting along by the end of the week. Now, I know, this wasn't a big decisions for Christ, you know, but it was significant it shows that we meet people in all places. I didn't pound it. I didn't hit it that hard. Wow. Okay. We meet people in all places. There was one lead counselor who reported about a boy who came up and how really quiet and depressed and unable to do anything. And he would never want to pray. He would never want to talk. He would never want to engage in anything. And she finally got him aside and talked a little early in the week. And he was feeling depressed. He was feeling bad about himself. He was feeling bad about being up there. Life was not good for him. And this was somebody, a boy in junior high. And she prayed with him right then. They talked about prayer. They talked about prayer as a part of their regular lessons that they were engaging in during the week. And she said that by the end of the week, by Friday, he was reaching out to others and praying with them. He liked being prayed for so much that he would reach out and pray for others. One boy who's from Fresno and is actually on maintenance staff and a great kid, got asked because we needed a counselor for the week in the forest, which is the week for developmentally disabled adults. Most of them there's no one under 21 in this camp. They're all older. Talking about just sort of one story after another, really, of how he was touched by the way God was using him in the lives of these people who understood so very little, and yet when they would start a prayer or when they would start a song, that they would respond and be able to participate in worshiping God. There was the work that went on with Dakota House from Fresno, which was a group of mostly junior high to and high school age kids who lived up at Outpost for a week and had a great staff up there. Dakota House is a place in Fresno that kind of gives street kids a second chance, really. It's not that they're in trouble or anything like that, but they could be coming up. And they bring their kids up every year. And the response of those kids just to being in a place where they could feel love. Just loved. Right there. The last week of the summer was this Valley Teen Ranch, in a rather remarkable story to me. They always take the kids that are in Outpost. They take them up to Fresno Dome. How many of you have been up to Fresno Dome in your time at Calvin Crest? All right, we've got at least one. Yeah. Fresno Dome is a great place to go, and it's a good walk up to the top of it, and you can see forever, and it's a good place to go. So they took this group from Valley Teen Ranch, and remember, these are kids that would be in juvenile hall if they weren't at Valley Teen Ranch. And so one of the counselors was talking there were seven boys there, and they were talking to him. This was an all-male, by the way, all-boys group that came up from there. And they was talking to these seven, and they started asking him about Jesus. They wanted to know about Jesus. They knew they were at a Christian camp. They had heard the counselors talk about Jesus, and they started asking questions. And by the end of time of asking questions, these seven boys, all of them said, "Well, we've never been baptized. Can you baptize us?" Wow. I mean, I was blown away by that. See, the work of God at Calvin Crest just goes on, and it's work that has to do with life. You know, you take kids like these kids from Valley Teen Ranch, and you bring them up there, and they take a pause out of what is a negative life, and they get a glimpse at what real life as God intended it to be is like. It's opening a little window. It's giving them a glimpse. And they respond. Now, we have very little way of knowing very much, at least, about how each one of the kids who have responded continue, how they change in their life. It's difficult for Calvin Crest to follow up on kids from Valley Teen Ranch. It's easier if we have a partner down in Madera who can go out and see them down there. Just like if we had somebody up here in Escalon or in this area, it would be nice to have partners locally where people are willing to go out and see kids who've made commitments and see those who might need special encouragement along the way. And that's part of what we mean by wanting to partner with people. You are our partners because you participate in what life we offer and teach and model, and you model the same life right here. Again, my career was spent in the church, and I'm sure you all have occasional frustrations with church politics and church things. But this is where life is taught and lived. At Calvin Crest, hope we can help that along any way we can. You know, there is sometimes a cost that has some regard to living this life. I have a good friend, pastor of a church that had been ministering for a while with a bunch of kids in apartments really close by, by their church. And it was a beginning ministry, and it was just starting, and they had about 20 kids that were coming. And then a new housing project opened up all the way across town, pretty good sized city, all the way across town. And there was one guy in the church who said, we've got to continue this work with these kids. Just because they moved across town doesn't mean that we can stop. So he personally bought the church a van and took charge of this ministry. So they would go over and they would get these kids and bring them back. They would have Sunday school. Well, these kids were not your standard, Escalon Press kids, or Lemoore Press kids. They were not the kids who all behaved perfectly like they did here at the children's sermon. Well, pretty perfectly. Kind of like my kids did when they were this size. And it began to be a little bit of a problem for some. And it ended up that there were 10 families who said to the church, we love this work. We think that you guys are probably doing the right thing, but we just can't bring our kids to the environment with those kids. I'm not going to criticize that choice. Parents make choices, and they make them for good reasons, and I'm not going to criticize that choice. I just want to point out that sometimes there's a cost to doing something in the name of life for someone else, and there is a cost. Now, I want to also make sure that you understand that with that particular group of kids, and I'm sorry, this is the only time in the sermon that I will mention my passion for the Dodgers, because I see the giant shirt sitting in the... but I went with these kids on a bus from that church down to Dodger Stadium, and we had a great time. I got to see these kids firsthand, and they were wonderful. And then last Memorial Day weekend, they came up to Calvin Crest and worked. And were, again, fabulous. They're teenagers now. And the result of this work in their lives is palpable. It's real. It's joy that's there. Which really does bring me to that last line, which I love so much, and it's the reason why I read the Phillips version of this text. The reason why we do this, why we invite people in, why we talk about life, why we want life, why we tell people that we have actually touched life, why we are excited about the fact that there is something unique and wonderful and real about the life we live in Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Because the more people believe that and come into this fellowship, the greater the joy it brings to us who are already in it. We do it for joy. We do it for joy. C.S. Lewis wrote that we are far too easily pleased. We are pleased with doing our duty, or we are pleased with doing something out of obligation, when what we should be pleased with is being pleased to receive the joy that God offers and gives us. The greater that this fellowship extends, the greater the joy it brings to us who are already in it. That's an important part of this life that we live, this life that is abundant, this life that is real and that John touched. You know, it continues to amaze me that the Apostle John, after going through all that he had gone through, being exiled, being persecuted, wrote this letter, which he began by saying, "This is real. This is intense. This is life. And we live this life for the joy of it." Let's pray together. Gracious God, we do thank you for life. It is you who gives life. It is you who bring us along and grant us a spirit that helps us to feel and experience life. Thank you for the joy you give us, and may that joy grow and rise and fill us. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.